T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Aditi was in Cincinnati, so that means she got back to Pittsburgh in time to watch the last Steelers game from the Kinkabwala Estate. And we always like to start these interviews by asking, what was the vibe like? You are surrounded by a Steelers-loving husband and his Steelers-loving extended family. So what was it like watching that game and breaking down that game in that environment, Aditi?
Let's just say that I was not appreciated yesterday. I don't know what to say other than he was very angry. He was very upset and very, very sad. And whereas I try to have, or not try to, but I can have a somewhat removed take on all of this because obviously I'm not invested in anybody's laundry. He was just really sad.
And wouldn't it be nice if he helped out with the laundry a little bit more, Aditi?
Have we already had this conversation?
The laundry is never ending. You do a batch and there's just a full basket 20 minutes later. It's just, it never ends.
I do laundry every single day. I have no idea why there is so much dirty
laundry. Did he ever pull the trick where you asked him to do the laundry and he did an intentionally bad enough job the first time that he knew you would never ask him again?
Veteran move.
So our first year together, our first year married, I was traveling constantly. The Steelers were 8-8, so I was sent on the road everywhere. And I remember being on the road for 5 days. I came home like late on a Wednesday night and I had a flight on Thursday. So I loaded the laundry Wednesday. I was falling asleep and I said, can you just please do me a favor and take the whites and put them in the dryer? This is what I said. And he said, okay, yeah, sure. So the next morning he's in the shower and he yells to me, he says, hey, can you get me a towel? And the towels were white. So I go to the dryer to get the towels. There are whites in the dryer. The dryer has never been turned on.
Oh,
so when I went to him and I said, you never ran the dryer. He said, you didn't tell me to turn it on. You just told me to put that in the dryer.
How is that possible? How is that real life?
Was he raised in a barn?
Engineer, by the way, this is a Pitt degree for you.
Well,
this is a Pitt school, whatever the school of engineering.
Hey, honey,
is
put the whites in the dryer, but definitively do not turn it on. You have to tell me that step, or else I won't do
that's
it.
That's Amanda's favorite thing to go to with me. She goes, "You have great book smarts and absolutely zero common sense." If I had a dollar for every time I heard that, I wouldn't have to do this show anymore.
I mean, this is 10 years later. And so, you know what? I love that you guys are making me remember this, because last night I did go to bed feeling a little bit guilty and I had to apologize to him and say, you know, I'm sorry. I recognize that this is incredibly emotional for you. I don't mean to be so dispassionate about something we all saw coming. But now that you... reminded me of this story, I don't feel so bad.
Did he not see it coming? Like, that was the other thing. You said
he was going to have a Bettis send-off?
Yeah, you thought he was...
Yes.
You said he was very upset.
Oh, my God.
Oh, then you might want to check to make sure he's not delusional.
Well, I was just going to say, do you not think that there is a segment of every single fan base that's a little bit delusional?
I think
part of being a fan is having
fanatic.
Hope.
Yep. You're thinking with your heart, not your head.
But you know what, Aditi?
Exactly.
But you know what? I felt like going... Now, obviously, I was not part of that segment of the Steelers fan base or even the people that predicted
it. It was the close game club, of which I was a card-carrying member.
Pony was like the standard bearer of... And Ryan Clark did this. He talked about it with us. He said it on ESPN. It's like a lot of people, I think, wanted to believe that it could be a close game, but I think there was enough understanding of what they were up against in that game that almost nobody could actually go over the line and pick them, which is why I'm just a little surprised. Even with, part of being a fan is being kind of irrational and not caring.
Yes, but I think that this year especially, guys, has been so bizarre. I mean, I was in the Cincinnati press box talking to a Bills scout who was there scouting, and I was kind of like, why are you here? And it was just this idea that if the Steelers had beaten Kansas City, then the Steelers would go to Tennessee and the Bengals would go to Buffalo, and that's why he was there. And I just said, yeah, but you don't really think the Steelers are beating Kansas City. And he was like, have you paid attention all year? Because again, how many crazy things have happened this season that completely defy logic?
Yep.
And there was a piece of that. You know, if the Steelers defense came out playing unbelievably strong, which it did, if they could force a turnover, which they did, if they could convert that into points, which they did, and if the Steelers offense could somehow run the ball, control the clock, bleed the clock, keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes, then maybe it could have been a close game. And in a close game, anything crazy could happen. You saw that with the Steelers and the Titans. I mean, you did, right?
Yep.
No, you did. I just...
So it wasn't out of the realm of possibility.
So,
I mean, was it grossly possible? No, but it was possible.
So you just pushed us into the conversation where we heard Ben at the top of this hour talk about how the offense didn't do anything. And this whole chicken or the egg argument with Roethlisberger specifically, why does it Collinsworth is going on and on about it. Why does it take so long for him to start to make plays happen? He's 24 of 30 with two touchdowns in the second half. He looks so much different in the no huddle. Juju's going on and on about that after the game. And they wanted the ball, and they didn't do anything unique or creative when they had it. So my question is, Aditi, like, when you're doing an autopsy on this season, like, how much of it is coaching and how much of it is the players offensively?
It feels a little bit like a chicken and an egg, right?
That's why I started with that. The chicken or the egg.
Yeah, because Matt Canada has taken so much heat. You know, everything that I've always been told is that the best coaches tailor what they do to the players that they have. And so on the one hand, you want to sit here and say, okay, look, the way that the game is changing is that you need a quarterback that's got some sort of mobility, especially with the way pass rushers are now. You need a quarterback who can elude that, who can move around. And the Steelers just haven't had that. So it's not only about Matt Canada and his offense. It's kind of the game in general. And how many times this year have we heard Mike Tomlin talk about studying mobility of quarterbacks? And that's what he did during the bye.
Yep.
And that's what he's trying to assess. So in that sense, yeah, of course, Matt Canada and this offense were hamstrung to some degree by the physical abilities of the quarterback that they had. But hey, this is the organization that didn't have a better plan than a 39-year-old quarterback who couldn't move anymore. And don't the best coaches figure out how to get the most out of what they have? And why, you know, even Ben Roethlisberger is saying Kendrick Green would have been better at guard. Well, then why did it take, 15 games to get to that? Oof. What, you know, it's too easy to say it's this one thing. It's not. I think it's a confluence of a lot of things. You asked earlier, right, Pony, is this a successful season?
Did they have a good year? Just pretty simple. Yes or no?
Okay.
Did they have a good year?
And what is your take on that?
My answer is no, they didn't.
And Mulsey, what's your answer?
No, they didn't, because I never wanted to see this season take the shape that it did, i.e. with Roethlisberger back and everything else. I'm still holding a grudge from the fact that they did not
They had
reboot.
A blah season. I'm not holding a grudge. They just were blah.
And I'm the grudge holder here.
And blah to me, or eh, or average, or okay, is not good.
Well, and especially when you are the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, look, if you were the Cleveland Browns and you don't go to the playoffs regularly and you somehow gut out enough wins to back into the playoffs and you get a playoff berth, okay, that could be a mark of success. But if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers, where your head coach, Mike Tomlin, says that he is doing nothing but hunting Lombardi trophies, then what was successful about this? There was no inspiring play. There was nothing that made you feel like this is a team that could go on to dominance. There was quite a lot of ugly football, really ugly football. And you back into the playoffs and you lose in the first round. You're embarrassed in the first round. Sure, for some teams, making the playoffs is a success. It's not to Mike Tomlin. I'll never forget. It was my second season and the Steelers started 0-4.
Yep.
And then they somehow finish 8-8. And I said something to Mike Tomlin at the end of the season, the postseason press conference, about feeling good about the way that the team turned things around or the way that the team righted its ship. And I remember he clapped right back at me and said, "That's not successful. That's not good." I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was basically him telling me, "Don't you dare frame 8-8 after an 0-4 start as success, because that's not what we look for in the city of Pittsburgh."
Well, how things have changed then, because he was the guy, what, after the Ravens game saying, "You guys all threw us out with the trash, basically. All you guys buried us after we started 1-3.
And he took a victory lap after
that game.
He
sure was crowing for 9-7-1.
That begs a bigger question. Where are the standards right now? How long has it been since the Steelers have won a playoff game?
It's been
5 years.
How
long has it been since you thought that the Steelers were a contender for a Super Bowl?
It's funny that you brought up the Browns as an example, because the first thing my mind flashed to when you said for them 9-7-1 and getting blown out might still be something that's good because of their team's history, all I could think of was last night's game is simply now the longest drought without a playoff win for the Steelers since the merger.
And the longest in the division now. The Browns, Bengals, and Ravens have now all won playoff games more recently than the Steelers. Does that manifest itself in any ways this offseason? You know, we were debating this, Aditi, earlier in the show. Colbert's going to be gone. Ben's going to be gone. It just feels like Tomlin is going to get even more power this offseason. And I'm not convinced that's a good thing for them moving forward, that he's now going to be the alpha male and the top dog almost by himself in this organization in terms of tenure.
This is why when people talk about the general manager thing, Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin have worked in concert together for so long. You're not going to bring in somebody who's going to ever override or overrule Mike Tomlin. You know, it's going to be somebody that obviously he has a ton of say. They do everything together. His fingerprints are all over every single piece of this club. And so it's to your point, not my point, but you made the point earlier that he's the one that elevated this offensive coordinator. He's the one that elevated the offensive line coach who ultimately left. He's the one who's running the defense. He's the one who has every bit of say in what player comes or doesn't. You know, the situation we saw in Miami, where Brian Flores and Chris Greer had, you know, essentially a power struggle over who the quarterback should be. That's never happened here. Mike Tomlin hasn't been,
Donahoe and Cower.
So like no one is handing Mike Tomlin a player he doesn't want. Nobody is shoving a player down Mike Tomlin's throat that he doesn't want.
Well, then there's a lot of reason to question the players that he does want, because a lot of them seem not great, to be kind.
Like?
I don't know.
The linebacker that they traded up to the 10th spot to get?
The guard that they drafted in the third round and then said, "Don't worry, you can be a starting center from day one."
You know, I wish I was smarter. You talk about Devin Bush and the knee surgery. So obviously I was in Cincinnati this week, and the biggest difference in Joe Burrow from week one of this season to right now is the way that he's moving. And, you know, there is definitely more mobility. He's definitely more comfortable moving. It's the way he eludes the rush. It's the way he rolls out. It's the way he scrambles. It's all of that. And he is 13 months removed, 13 months removed from having his ACL and MCL completely repaired. Both were totally destroyed last December. And you see the way he's moving. And I get it that quarterback movement is not the same as linebacker movement. But Devin Bush, before he was hurt, his sideline to sideline speed, while not Ryan Shazier, it was obviously incredibly notable. His nimbleness, his quickness, all of that counted for, you know, it's part of what elevated his game to some degree. And we just haven't seen that. And I'm not, again, I don't know the answer to this. And I'd love to ask someone. Everybody heals differently, obviously, but you see how someone comes off of surgery, you know, in 13 months, and then you look at somebody else and it's been 15 months. And does it have to do with the movement required at the position? Does it have to do with the way the surgery was performed? Does it have to do with the rehab? I don't know. And I know that we spent a lot of the first part of the season saying, well, Devin Bush came off of a major surgery and Devin Bush is still recovering and he's still rehabbing and he's still, you know, not fully 100%. But at what point do we say that you should be had it been a successful surgery and a successful rehab.
Are you one of the insiders who thinks that there will be either a legitimate retirement or a quote-unquote retirement from Keith Butler? Because all of a sudden in the last week, like every single Steelers insider we've talked to has hinted at that.
No, my expectation is that Keith Butler retires. He is turning 65. He has put in 60 years, 59, I think, in the game of football, playing it, coaching it, all of that. I think that he has grandchildren. He has a home in Tennessee. I think that he has given the game so much, and that his family is ready for him to come home.
So you know what that means, Mosey? They'll just promote Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator, and Mike Tomlin will just keep calling the plays.
Okay, so two things here. Terrell Austin interviewed for a defensive coordinator job in Tennessee last year or the year before. I can't remember. The time is eluding me. But Mike Vrabel calls the defensive plays there. And I do know at the time that TA was not going to leave to be a DC where he didn't get to design and install and run the defense. So that's not necessarily a, okay, yes, anybody would be fine with the title. But number two, TA is a tremendous coach. Terrell Austin is one of the best coaches on that staff. Terrell Austin is somebody that I believe should be a head coach in the National Football League. You know, these things come in waves. He did interview for head coaching jobs. I remember when, and again, we'll go back to my husband, a Pitt grad. TA is a Pitt grad. Matt desperately wanted TA to be the head coach at Pitt. I think this was after Graham, maybe. But TA was doing NFL head coaching interviews at the time. TA is a great coach, and that's not just merely a lazy elevation, the way that we have kind of talked about some other promotions within the staff where we're like, okay, great. Are you even looking? Are you even talking to people? Are you even exploring? In this situation, you've got a tremendous coach on your staff that players really, really respond to, who's an unbelievably bright and sharp mind. I think the only caveat is, you know, how much. It keeps coming back to this. And look, I'm consistent on this. I say this about Kevin Stefanski all the time. I don't think he should call the plays in Cleveland. I think Alex Van Pelt should call the plays. And I think Kevin Stefanski should be the CEO and have kind of that 30,000 foot view. And so similarly, you know, we know that Mike Tomlin likes calling the defense. We know that that's what he wants to do. I would love to see maybe somebody else run the defense. And Mike Tomlin, because he is indeed a tremendous leader and a tremendous overseer of everything, oversee everything, coach the coaches. That's what they used to say about Tom Coughlin. And Tom Coughlin coached the coaches and he let his coaches coach the players.
Unless a player had the audacity to show up 7 minutes early for a meeting, in which case he came down with the hammer of Thor.
No, you just had to be 5 minutes early. Okay. You just had to be five. So if you were 4 minutes early, and your side and your feet had to be on the floor, and you had to wear the right kind of socks, and
so wait,
yeah,
you couldn't like cross one leg casually over the other during a meeting?
Oh no. No.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
honestly, it would be a blessing. You know, I love the city. I love the fans. I love Coach Tomlin. My career here has been amazing. It would be nice, you know, to stay here and to play these guys again, same coaches and everyone. Yeah, it would be nice to stay for another 4 years. I don't think nobody knew, not even my mom. I was working to get my shoulder back. Since the day I got hurt, I told myself, like, this injury was a six-month injury recovery. I told myself I'm doing it in three. And when I got cleared, I was like, no hesitation, it's time to go. And to show other teams that I'm healthy. And like I said, I'm just happy to be out there with my boys.
437, stop out to Century 3 Chevy for their used car super sale. All access with Aditi the day after the Steelers were eliminated from the playoffs. Big Ben's career over. Although Juju said he's trying to cajole him back. Juju, like a politician, wants four more years. But he also just said in that last answer that part of the motivation of returning was to show other teams what he could do. Aditi, there seems to be a groundswell from some Steelers insiders that the team would be right to bring Juju back and that he might take another discount because the market is not going to be there. But then I see him bring up 4 years and think he's still of the opinion or belief that he's going to get a lot of money in a lot of years this offseason.
Well, and why do we begrudge him believing that? Don't you need to always believe in yourself? If you don't believe in you, then why would anybody else believe in you? And that's what
I believe in myself.
Ago, you know,
Malzi does too, even though he's very self-effacing on the surface.
Nah, I don't really. But that's neither. I don't think either of us is begrudging it. I think we're just asking, do you think the market will be there for him the way that four-year comment suggests?
I don't think in the way that he envisions it.
So hat in hand back
to
the Steelers?
I don't think that number one. Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think that that's the answer either.
Mm.
Do you think the injury changed this radically, or do you think that the market wasn't going to be there even if he churns through the year and puts up kind of similar to last year's numbers?
The latter. I just think that he believes he's a number one receiver. He's not a number one in the way that the Jamar Chase is, for instance.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah, that's a pretty good comparison.
Let me just say this though,
right there
on this roster, he might be a de facto number one. He might be the best guy they've got because Deontay Dropson's back. And Chase.
Oh, okay, you know what? It's two drops. He's had a great season, and I don't like the answer. I don't like the ho hum nature to the drops, but he has had a great year. He's just not a game break. Deontay Johnson does have game breaking ability. Let me say this, though, and I'll again use the Bengals. Look, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins stretch the field and can do things that you want out of a number one receiver, but that doesn't make Tyler Boyd any less valuable. And I think the big difference here is that Tyler Boyd knows how valuable he is in the slot. He knows how important he is. Tyler Boyd, I think, has caught 69 or 70 balls this year without a single drop. And there was, you know, the Ravens game when both Higgins and Chase were doubled. Joe Burrow found Tyler Boyd and he scored a touchdown. There's a lot of value in that. What I would say is that Juju is really, really, really good at what he does, which is playing in the slot. Don't try to do something else. Don't feel that you need to be an outside receiver when you are one of the best at what you actually do. And sure, there may be a little bit less money in that than there is in something else, but that doesn't mean that you can't excel and be one of the best and be unbelievably valuable and important to your team.
Well, then he has to realize that, Aditi. Like you said, he still thinks of himself in number one receiver terms, but if the market does not agree with him, he's eventually going to have to take a deal that, in theory, he just doesn't like or doesn't agree with.
Yes, but you hope that there is a recognition of, you know, sort of where he is. And I said this even before he played, that this is why I thought he was playing in this final game, to just show his toughness, to show his desire, to show how much he loves the game of football, to show his fight. And all of those things are incredibly valuable. That just doesn't mean that he's necessarily a $19 million a year receiver.
And I don't think Johnson is either, and he's up for a contract, and I would not give him that kind of money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that he's going to draw that.
I hate the attitude the last month, coinciding with the drops and the lack of focus and just fumbling when he's not touched against the Chiefs. And ever since he went on this tirade about how he got screwed over by the Pro Bowl voters, his play fell off dramatically. And I'm not going to give him, you know, all kinds of pats on the ass for catching touchdown passes in a blowout at the end of the game like he tried to do today. I just think the wide receivers as a whole are overrated. Chase Claypool turns 50-50 balls into 25-75 balls, Aditi.
I just think there's, you know, when Ben Roethlisberger yesterday was talking about the Steeler way and the Steeler ethos and upholding the things that the late Dan Rooney believed in and how he's counting on Cam Hayward to sort of carry that on. This takes me to the conversation that we had about the Ravens-Steelers rivalry. And it's like, who's really left who really buys into that way of playing the game?
Hayward, what?
And I get that part of this is, okay, so, but part of this is generational, right? Like social media and politicking for yourself and asking people to vote for you for the Pro Bowl. It's a different world than it was 10 years ago. But I just think that this is an organization that, you know, kind of wants a level of selflessness and a certain fan base too that wants a buy-in of a certain kind. And I think that there's a piece of that personality that's hard to find right now.
Why are other teams able to seemingly find it?
I think it has to do with who you bring in. I think it has to do with the way that you choose who's a part of your club. You know, again,
then that
I'll
would refer
you,
back to the people who are buying the groceries, so to speak, which has been Tomlin and Colbert.
There are certain clubs that have a very, very, very strong feeling about personality. And I think that you see that with the way the Ravens, for instance, draft and sign players. I think that, and this is not a knock, this is maybe a credit, in fact, it's just a statement right now. I think that Mike Tomlin is more tolerant of different personalities and sort of expression beyond the same message. And while that can be a fabulous, wonderful thing, maybe sometimes it isn't. It depends on who the strongest galvanizing personalities are. I think that when you have, you know, a guy who's an outlier maybe, or a little bit nutty, if he can be reined back in because, you know, like think way back in the day, the Young Money crew, when you had Mike Wallace and Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown. But you had Hines Ward reining them all in, keeping them all in line. And so they got to be their own men and they got to do their own things, but Hines Ward still kind of carried the day. So I think that that works when you've got that really strong leadership. And I don't know that that's been a mark or a trait of the Steelers the last couple of years.
You read anything into Johnson and Hayward when asked about the quarterback future, both implying that they think it's a guy from the outside?
Don't we all?
No. A lot of Steelers insiders think that it's Mason Rudolph's job.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, that's the most,
I don't.
That's the most reassuring thing you've said, other than the fact that your husband also tries to get out of chores, which made me not feel as lazy or as incompetent. That is actually now rising up to number one on the list of positive things Aditi has said today, Chris.
Look, I don't know what's out there. I don't know what's available. I think there is a lot unknown right now, right? I just saw Derek Carr. I'm a huge, huge, huge Derek Carr
fan.
Yeah,
didn't like that last
huge
drive.
Derek Carr fan.
I know.
Okay.
I liked him
but
too,
but
that
what?
Last drive.
It's not all on one guy. Okay? It's not all on
one
guy.
Yeah, but he needed
guy.
A
but
diaper
anyway,
change
I'm
there.
I am a huge fan of Derek Carr's. I don't know if Derek Carr is going to play anyplace else. We don't know what's going to happen in Las Vegas. We don't know who they're going to bring in as a head coach. We don't know if Mike Mayock stays there. I have no idea. But if you can get a veteran quarterback of that caliber to come in here to bridge you until you can find your franchise quarterback or maybe give you 5 to 7 years or do something like that. Because look, Aaron Rodgers is not coming here and Russell Wilson is not coming here. But I do think that, again, we don't know as of right now. It doesn't look like there is a franchise quarterback in this draft. The Steelers drafting
Kenny Pickett.
They're drafting 20th. You really think Kenny Pickett is a franchise quarterback for the next 18 to 20 years
yes.
in the National Football League?
I do.
I think Pony actually thinks he'll have a career like Derek Carr's, if
yep.
not better.
Yep, I think he's cut from that cloth.
Okay, well then we'll see. You think he's available at 20?
No, I don't. But I think you can move up to get him if you really like him. You moved up for an inside linebacker.
Think the Steelers do?
No, I think that they're so conservative.
You've been sticking your craw for a long time. I think were you always against that move, or is this
Bush?
Like this year?
No, I actually really loved it in the moment, yeah. But I'm not paid millions of dollars to make these moves.
That's actually why he's so against it, is because it was a move he loved, and the fact that it hasn't worked out and has in fact turned into a spectacular disaster has made him it's magnified the anger, Aditi. That's how these things work.
You're right, Mulsey. That was actually pretty well said.
Oh, this is the first time for everything for me.
Aditi.
I think that you have a great, great defense, and you want to compete as quickly as you possibly can.
Wait, you think they have a great defense? They've given up 40-plus points in their last three playoff games, Aditi.
I think you have potential. You need more depth. Look, you need more depth. I think it's interesting to see what happens with Alualu, what happens with Tuit. Does Tuit still play? Can Tuit come back?
What do you think?
They definitely need to help their linebackers.
Are those two guys back?
That's such a tough question. I hope, let me just say this, on a personal level, I hope that Tuit is back. I think that Tuit has struggled with things that most of us hope we never have to struggle with this year, and I do hope that he's
and
back.
And can you confirm that there actually is a solid chance, because Chris Mueller's been dying to know the answer to this question all day, are you here to confirm that there is mutual interest, Steelers and Mike Munchak, on an offensive line genius reunion? Could it happen, Aditi?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. Oh. I haven't asked. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Please ask.
But you know
ask.
What? But if being a sport...
Ask
if
away.
If part of being a fan is having hope, then shouldn't you just have hope?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Pittsburgh 12, 3rd-and-7 for Mahomes, in the gun, shotgun snap, they rush 5, pump fake and a line drive into the end zone, over the shoulder, catch in the back corner, it is caught for the touchdown, grab by Pringle.
Pringle's killed the Steelers. What is that, 3 touchdowns in 2 games?
Didn't he have
Pringle?
2 last night?
So 4 in 2
4
games.
4 in 2 games.
Aditi, you like Pringles?
I do, actually. The sour cream and onion ones, too, especially.
My kid is obsessed with them
I think
now.
They taste like cardboard. I think they're like the worst chip. I'll eat them. If it's no chips or Pringles, I'll take Pringles, but they're like dead last in my chip power rankings.
Oh, no, they're lower
than dead
last.
I'm not a huge chip person, I will say that.
Well, what would you prefer, Aditi? Caviar?
No, I'm a vegetarian. I like pistachios. I'm a big nut eater.
Pistachios are shell. Now, here's where I am pathetic in that regard.
Oh, here we go.
I'm so cheap, I will buy the ones with the shells on just because I don't want to pay the extra like $1.50 for convenience to have the shelled ones.
See, and I like taking the shells off because Agreed. I feel like that slows down the process of eating them too. Like otherwise I'm just shoving.
That's true. I would take a whole handful of the unshelled
pistachios. I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm going back to my roots as like a hunter and gatherer human being when I have to open up the shell to eat it. Yeah, I do.
Spare me.
I do.
A hunter and gatherer.
I like
a woolly mammoth would have put a tusk right through
your midsection. I swear to God, I get more delight and pleasure out of eating pistachios if they're shelled than I have to do the act of deshelling them. It's like sunflower seeds. I'd rather open them up out of the shell than just have the kernels.
I've never figured out how to properly do that. Like put a whole mouthful of sunflower seeds in your mouth and then like shell them in your mouth and put like the
Here's how it works,
Aditi.
Get your kids into baseball.
Here's how it works. So you got to go, one side of the mouth has to be storage for all the ones you're going to do that to. Then you move one over.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.